Well, good morning. We're glad that you are here after last year having to take it off. We are glad to be able to meet together as we remember Christ's sacrifice on the cross. We will be observing communion later in the service, and so we invite you to pick up the juice and the bread that's in the table on the table in the center, and you can do that when we stand to sing our first song. But we're going to remind ourselves today of the events that led up to and resulted in the crucifixion of Christ, as recorded in John's Gospel, specifically in John chapter 18 and 19. And included in our service are songs which will help us as we meditate on the meaning of the day. Prophet Isaiah wrote, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." But we stand together as we sing.
Living and core.
We begin our reading in John chapter 18. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where there was a garden, which he and his disciples entered. And Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, for Jesus often met there with his disciples. Then Judas, having received a detachment of troops and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, came there with lanterns, torches, and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that would come upon him, went forward and said to them, "Whom are you seeking?" They answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said to them, "I am he." And Judas, who betrayed him, also stood with them. Now when he had said to them, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. Then he asked them again, "Whom are you seeking?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus answered, "I have told you that I am he. Therefore, if you seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spoke, 'Of those whom you gave me, I have lost none.'" Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. So Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword into its sheath. Shall I not drink the cup which my Father has given me?" Then the detachment of the troops and the captains and the officers of the Jews arrested Jesus and bound him. Then they led him away to Annas. And first, he was the high father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year. Now it was Caiaphas who advised the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Our Savior and our Redeemer, through your work on the cross in planned unison with the Father and the Holy Spirit, you reconcile the people unto yourself. We study the eyewitness accounts found in Scripture, reflecting and recalling why you had to go to the cross. Like the Apostle Paul stated, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." Every time we go to the communion table, we must remember why you went to the cross. The reason was sin, our sin. And the sin of all your people, past, present, and future, fell upon your shoulders. You drank the cup of the full wrath of God. You died a death that we all deserve to die because of our wrongs and violations of the law. We have all broken your law through action, word, and thought. We solemnly pause to remember what you have accomplished for us. Through the working of your Holy Spirit, we ask that you would search our hearts and point out sin in our lives, and we confess these to you. Preparing our hearts to receive communion, we recognize and acknowledge what you did for our sin, the pain that you endured in the shedding of your blood for the new covenant to redeem us as your people. We reflect with somberness, but we also rejoice. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. After what you accomplished on the cross, you entered with your blood into the real temple, a temple not made with human hands. Your sacrifice was once and for all. Then you sat down because your work was finished. The price paid in full. Nothing was lacking. Hence why you could sit down at the right hand of the Father. Thank you for the price you paid. Thank you for making salvation possible. And thank you for giving your people who have called on your name the gift of your Holy Spirit. As we think upon what you went through, the excruciating pain and exhaustion,
the fulfillment of Scripture. We rejoice with your words, "It is finished." We rejoice in your finished work on the cross. In Jesus' name we pray.
And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. Now that disciple was known to the high priest, and went with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest, but Peter stood at the door outside. And the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to her who kept the door, and brought Peter in. And the servant girl who kept the door said to Peter, "Are you not also one of this man's disciples, are you?" He said, "I am not." Now the servants and officers who made a fire of coals stood there, and it was cold, and they warmed themselves. And Peter stood with them and warmed himself. The high priest then asked Jesus about his disciples and his doctrine. And Jesus answered, "I spoke openly to the world. I always taught in synagogues and in the temple, where the Jews always meet, and in secret I have said nothing. Why do you ask me? Ask those who have heard me what I said to them. Indeed, they know what I said." And when he said these things, one of the officers who stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, "Do you answer the high priest like that?" Jesus answered him, "If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why do you strike me?" Then Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas the high priest. Now Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. Therefore they said to him, "Are you not also one of his disciples, are you?" He denied it and said, "I am not." One of the servants of the high priest, a relative of him whose ear Peter cut off, said, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" Peter then denied again, and immediately a rooster crowed.
When I fear my faith,
Then they led Jesus from Caiaphas to the praetorium, and it was early morning. But they themselves did not go into the praetorium, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out to them and said, "What accusations do you bring against this man?" They answered and said to him, "If he were not an evildoer, we would not have delivered him up to you." And Pilate said to him, "You take him and judge him according to your law." Therefore the Jews said to him, "It is not lawful for us to put anyone to death." That the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spoke, signifying by what death he would die. Then Pilate entered the praetorium again and called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered him, "Are you speaking for yourself about this, or did others tell you this concerning me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, "I find no fault in him at all. But you have a custom that I should release someone to you at the Passover. Do you therefore want me to release to you the King of the Jews?" Then they all cried again, and saying, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a robber. So then Pilate took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers twisted a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They put on him a purple robe. Then they said, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they struck them with their hands. Pilate then went out again and said to them, "Behold, I am bringing him out to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him." Then Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate said to them, "Behold, the man." Therefore, when the chief priests and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "You take him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." Then the Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." Therefore, when Pilate heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went out again into the praetorium, and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Are you not speaking to me? Do you not know that I have the power to crucify you and the power to release you?" Jesus answered, "You could have no power at all against me unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has the greater sin." From then on, Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, "If you let this man go, you are not Caesar's friend. Whoever makes himself a king speaks against Caesar." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus out and sat down in the judgment seat, in a place that is called the pavement, but in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now it was the preparation day of the Passover, about the sixth hour, and he said to the Jews, "Behold, your king." But they cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to him, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Then he delivered him to them to be crucified. Then they took Jesus and led him away.
Thorn crown, lead me to Calvary.
And he, bearing his cross, went out to a place called the Place of a Skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two others with him, one on either side and Jesus in the center. Now Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. The writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Then many of the Jews read this title, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. Therefore the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write the King of the Jews, but he said, I am the King of the Jews." Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, each soldier a part, and also a tunic. Now the tunic was without seam, woven from the top in one piece. They said therefore among themselves, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which says, 'They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots.' Therefore the soldiers did these things." Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, "I thirst." Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine and put it on hyssop and put it to his mouth. But when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." Bowing his head, he gave up his spirit.
Thorns.
Therefore, because it was the preparation day, that the body should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. And he who has seen has testified, and his testimony is true. And he knows that he is telling the truth, so that you may believe. For these things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled, not one of his bones shall be broken. And again, other scripture says, they shall look on him whom they have pierced. After this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him permission. So he came and took the body of Jesus. And Nicodemus, who came at first, came to Jesus by night, also came, bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds. Then they took the body of Jesus, bound it in strips of linen with the spices, as the custom of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb in which no one had yet been laid. So there they laid Jesus, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the tomb was nearby.
Peace.
Over the last several weeks on Sundays, we have been studying the Passion narrative from the Gospel of John. And so to read those words again was a powerful reminder, maybe even with fuller understanding of what Christ has done for us. And I'm glad that the Gospel of John doesn't end with chapter 19. Looking forward to Sunday to move on to chapter 20. And the hope that we have in Christ. But on the night before his crucifixion, he celebrated with his disciples the Passover. They had a special meal together, and at the end of that meal, Jesus then institutes a new symbol, an importance, where he says and gives a command to remember him with the bread and with the cup. And so as a new covenant church, we follow in the Lord's command by gathering together to remember Jesus and what he has done for us on the cross. So if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, if you are trusting in him alone as your Lord and Savior, then you are certainly welcome to join our church family as we remember Christ with the Lord's Supper. If you have not picked up the elements, they're in the gym just right in the center aisle. If you're in the auditorium, they're in the back. And we invite you to participate together as we remember our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray before partaking of the Lord's Supper. Our Father, we have gathered together on what we call Good Friday. And what we have just read in the Scriptures is a lot that is not good. We read of a betrayal, of a denial, of the disciples scattering. We read of unjust trials, of torture, of an innocent man being executed. None of these things are good. But the Apostle Paul tells us that there is good news. The good news is that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scripture. Father, we're thankful that He did that for us, that He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed. And so we're thankful that the body was broken for us, that body who lived for 33 years on this earth without sin, the body that spoke the truth, that healed others, that gave us an example. And as that body hung on the cross, it was broken. We think of the blood of Jesus shed for us. We are told that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. And we thank You that Jesus willingly gave His life and shed His blood so that we can be forgiven. Father, we're thankful for this special time where we as blood-bought sinners have gathered together to remember all that Your Son did for us. So we thank You for Your plan of redemption. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord Jesus, on the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is My body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." And in the same manner, He also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in My blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till He comes." Christ's death is deeply grieving as we read of all of the suffering. The gift of salvation is free to us, but it was not free to the Savior. It came at great cost. Through faith in Christ, our dirty, sinful garments are given to Jesus, who paid for them completely on the cross. And He, in exchange, gives us His perfect, righteous garments so that we can stand before a holy God justified. And so let's stand together to sing "His Robes for Mine."
I cling to
Father, thank you for loving the world so much that you gave your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him not perish but have everlasting. You did not send your Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through you, through him, may believe, be saved. For those of us who have trusted in Christ as our Savior, your word tells us that the love of Christ constrains us. Because he judged us that if one died for all, then all were dead, and that he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Christ alone. Thank you for drawing our minds to these truths today. May we live in light of these truths till we see our Savior face to face. In his name that we pray. You are dismissed.